I was reminded this week, this has been a difficult year in many ways. We still have much to be thankful for. I will say that there's much to be thankful for, but there's also, truthfully, been much difficulty. This month's been a difficult month. Been a lot of disappointments. There's worries about the future of our country, dealing with the death of our dear brother Corser, and then a lot of sickness here around us and amongst us. This past week's been very difficult. Some very tragic events with the tragic passing of Carrie Brown. There's serious needs amongst us. I think of Sister Iris and Valley. Not only among us, but in our extended church family. Now, as Christians, we know God is ultimately in control. But there's still many times we can't make sense of what's going on in our lives. There doesn't seem to be a good purpose. There doesn't seem to be a plan. It just doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. And as I meditated on that this morning, I just wanted to remind us of a few simple truths to help us when we find ourselves in a situation where life doesn't make sense, when we're hurting, and there's no good explanation for anything that we find. I chose Isaiah, the 50th chapter, verse 10 this morning. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. I'll read that again for those of you who don't have your Bibles and following. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. This verse lets us know that true Christians can be confused and perplexed by life. Because he addressed this to ones who feared the Lord and obeyed. Amen? That's who he addressed it to. He said, those who fear the Lord and obey. This is somebody living to what they know. True Christians can be perplexed and confused in life. We don't always have all the answers. The verse tells us one that walked in darkness and hath no light. That's not somebody that's out living in sin. That's just somebody that don't know the path, can't see the path ahead, can't see what's going on. I think it's good to remind ourselves every now and then we still live in a sin-cursed world. We suffer the consequences of sin and the curse of sin in this world. And it's not just our own sins, but consequences of other sinful choices affect us, right? Bad things do happen to good people sometimes. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean everything will go well for us all the time. And conversely, just because bad things happen in our life doesn't mean we've done something wrong. It's just part of this current existence in this life. And we got something better we're looking forward to, right? That ought to remind us, make us homesick for heaven. We got something a lot better than this ahead of us. We also don't have all knowledge. That means we don't know everything we need to know sometimes. And sometimes we do some dumb things just because either we didn't know or didn't think. And all this is to say, trouble and difficulty can come in our lives for many reasons. And we don't always have an explanation for it. Just because all things work for good doesn't mean we'll be able to find any good in some things of our life. Some things are bad, period. They're just bad. There's no good in them. Now, God in time may turn it for good, but that doesn't mean we can sort that out. Amen? And I warn you here, too, that Satan will use every bad thing that happens to either try and accuse you or accuse God. He'll either accuse God of being unfaithful, uncaring, unloving, or he'll accuse you of being not what you ought to be or this wouldn't have happened. Well, don't let him do that. Know how Satan operates. Don't let him do that. I'm reminded of Job. When I think on suffering and stuff, I guess our minds go to Job because he's an example of one who suffered much. And he's an example of God's goodness and faithfulness, but he's also an example of how one can endure difficulty and stay true to God. Job did not understand what was going on in his life. Job 23:8 says, behold, I go forward. He's not there. Backwards I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job couldn't perceive God anywhere in anything that was going on. He said, before and back and side, I don't know where he is. I can't perceive him. I don't know what's going on. But he did know this, that God knew right where he was at and would take care of him. Listen, God has not promised that we would understand everything. He's actually not promised we'd understand a lot of things in our life. But he has promised that he will be faithful to us. So first of all, maintain your confidence in God. It says, who among you feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of his servant that walks in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Maintain your confidence in God. Choose to continue to trust God no matter what. Job 13 and 15 said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. We need to make up our mind, no matter what, choose to trust God. Why can you do that? Because God is good all the time, in everything, in every way, in every situation, always. God is good. Amen? Don't let Satan use the events of life to cause you to doubt that. God's good all the time. Remind yourself of God's goodness, especially in difficulty and loss. I'm reminded of David. 1 Samuel 30 and 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men come to the city, and behold, it's burned with fire. And their wives, their sons, their daughters were taken captive. And then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept till they had no more power to weep. David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. David here came back from being out fighting with the Philistines. Actually, he didn't fight. He went out with them, and they got nervous and sent him home. Well, when him and his men got back, and David was down in Philistine because he had been ran out of his own country. They got back, and they come on a great tragedy. Their whole city had been torn up and burned. All the stuff and all the people carried away. Now, at this point, they had no idea if everybody's alive or dead. They didn't know. And they were greatly distressed. It was their worst nightmare. And it was because they were following David. And in doing so, following God. I mean, that's why they were there. They were following David, and David was God's anointed, and they were following God by following David. Now, verse 6. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. They were so grieved. I mean, they knew that he was out there because he was following David, and they're so grieved that they'd given up, many of them evidently given up hope or become disillusioned about what was going on. And they just spoke of killing David and then wandering back home, no doubt. But what really is striking about this story is David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David encouraged himself in the Lord. How did he do that? Well, no doubt he recalled to his mind the past victories and God's goodness to him. No doubt he began to meditate. He encouraged himself in the Lord by meditating on who he knew God was. No doubt he meditated on his past victories, where God had given him victory over the giant, Samson, over the bear, over the wolf. No doubt he called to mind God's anointing of him. But he encouraged himself in the Lord by reminding himself of God's past dealings with him. When we come in times of trial, and it comes hard, and grief comes hard, we need to get alone sometime and remind ourselves of God's goodness to us. We need to begin with salvation. The fact that Jesus Christ humbled himself to become a human, stepped into this world, and gave his very life for us. He suffered pain, he suffered humiliation. And he gave us the salvation that we didn't deserve, that we didn't earn. And there is no other way we could be saved from our sins. Beyond that, he's been good to us in many ways. He showed his love and care in many ways. We have much to be thankful for. Even in the midst of the difficulties we currently are in, we have much to be thankful for. As we look past over our past life, we have much to be thankful for. God really cares about what's happening in your life, in my life. I know we can say, well, if God cared, he wouldn't have let this happen. We don't know. Come on. We know God's good in every way. God loves us completely. And God's all wise and holy. God's working for the salvation of as many people as he can. Therefore, we don't understand everything that happens in this life and how God is orchestrating what is going on for the salvation of those whom he can reach. But he does really care. James tells us to consider Job again. He said, behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job, and you've seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. God, even though he may allow tragedy and difficulty to come, in the end, God is very compassionate. Amen. God doesn't allow his children to suffer needlessly because he's perfectly holy. We may never know the reason in this life, but in everything, God is faithful, God is compassionate, and God is holy. In times of suffering, in times of loss, in times of fear, we need to flee to God. By flee, I mean run to him. Make it the most important thing we do to get before God and pray, to get in front of God and in his presence and pour out our heart to him. Again, it says, who among you that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of his servant that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Stay on. That means to depend on, to rely on, to continue to walk with God. In time of difficulty, Satan can try and discourage us, cause us to draw back. Amen? Cause us to not feel like talking to God. Cause us to begin to entertain doubts of or thoughts of accusation against God. But don't draw back. Don't accuse God of unfaithfulness. Instead, cry out to him. Throw yourself on his mercy. Throw yourself on his love. Psalms 18 and 6, in my distress I called on the Lord. To my God I cried for help. From his temple he heard my voice. My cry reached unto his ear. I can guarantee you that when we cry out, God hears. And by hearing I mean he didn't just hear the words. His heart's touched. Psalms 34 and 17, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. God is faithful, even though the troubles may be compounded, they may be many. God and his grace is equal to and greater than the trouble. Since then we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. This is Hebrews 4th chapter. Since then we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have one to whom we pray, who is one of us. He walked this earth. He lived life like we do. He was tempted and tried just like we are. Therefore, he's able to sympathize with us. That gives us the confidence that we can go to him and plead our case to find mercy and grace and help in our time of need. It's God's grace, his unmerited favor and mercy that gives us the help that we need. God gives grace. Another passage says, he giveth more grace. When we have mounting difficulties and mounting problems, God's answer is more grace, more of his unmerited favor that brings us the help we need both inside and outside. Now, God's grace is imparted to us through different means. Sometimes God, by his Spirit, simply encourages us. Oftentimes, God sends his grace through his Word. Many times, God uses other believers to bring us his grace and help. I want to encourage us this morning. Determine to be a vessel of grace. There's needs all around us, both in our midst as the family of God, in our extended families, and in our communities and country around us. Determine to be a vessel of grace. By that I mean determine to be one through whom God can send his unmerited favor and help to others. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you also do. Comfort and encourage one another. Build up one another. I tell you what, you can't control what other people do. Don't be looking for somebody always to come and encourage you. I tell you the way to get it started is determined to be a vessel of grace. Be one whom the Holy Spirit can flow through and use to encourage others. One through whom God can give grace to the needy and the hurting. Amen? Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This passage tells us we ought to consider, think about how we can help and encourage our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And it says not to neglect meeting together. And I'd say this, be here if you safely can. Not everybody can. Or at least join us virtually at the time of the service. Amen? Don't let the availability of the message later cause you to put your own interest first and work this in when you get time. Amen? We need to meet together for encouragement. So do that as you can. Be with us virtually. Make a real effort to be a vessel of grace. As I was meditating this morning, I want to challenge each one of us. Listen to me now. Challenge each one of us to have a goal of reaching out to encourage a brother or sister at least once a week. Now, my personal challenge to myself is at least one a day. But by reaching out to encourage people, I mean send a card or a note to one you know needs encouragement. Or maybe one you don't know needs encouragement that you feel impressed to give them a word of encouragement. Email, word of encouragement. Text, a word of encouragement. Call. We have technology. It's been adapted so many of us can work from home. Let's use this technology for good as well. Amen? I tell you what, if everybody makes a commitment to reach out to encourage a brother or sister at least one a week, It'll encourage others to do the same. As you reach out and encourage, it'll encourage them to become a vessel of grace. And by that, we can become greater vessels of grace, wherein God can administer His encouragement and grace and help to others in need. Amen? And then let's not neglect one of our biggest comforts, which is God's Word. God's Word is God's revelation of Himself to us. Romans 15:4 tells us, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. It's God's Word that gives us encouragement. It's God's Word that gives us hope. It's God's Word that reminds us of His power, His knowledge, His wisdom. It's God's Word that reminds us of His love and His mercy and His holiness. Amen? Read in God's Word. It's so available to us. Again, with technology, there are multitude of free Bible programs you can put on your phone, on your computer, on your iPad. Bibles are cheap. If you don't have one and need one, I'll give you one. Read God's Word. You know what? In our country, you know why schools were started and people were taught to read? Initially, that was done by churches as Sunday school before the public school movement to help people be able to read God's Word. If you read the history of God's Word arriving at it, it's a miraculous way it's been preserved. People have given their life to have God's Word available to us in a language we know and is easy to understand. So read. It's from God's Word that we often receive grace. Make use of the helps that's available. There's several devotionals that are very good. I've got one I send out every morning that you can read. Use the Bible on your phone or computer. Get an audio Bible. If you can't read, if you're having trouble reading, there are many versions that are available where somebody will read it to you. Amen? And then make note, as God gives you passages, as they become valuable to you, as they strengthen you, mark them down. Claim them for yourself. Then go back to them over and over again when you find yourself in need. Read in the Psalms. The Psalms are some of the best for giving us some emotional help because they're very emotional. They appeal. Almost all they describe as difficulty and strugglings that we go through, but then almost all end with the confidence of God's goodness and help to us. Read in the Psalms. Read in the law. What we ought to be doing, what we ought not be doing. Read the stories of the heroes of faith, how God came through for them. See their faithfulness in real life situations and God's faithfulness. Read in the Gospels. Read what Jesus taught and how He lived. Read in the New Testament. Much, much instruction in living this Christian life in the New Testament era. My challenge is, let's make use of the means of grace God's given us. I know there's a lot of difficulty. Everybody, to some degree or another, has been affected by this. Everybody. But I wanted to encourage us this morning. Don't expect life to make sense. Don't expect to have all the answers. Don't expect to see good in everything. But do continue to trust God. Rely on Him. Call out to Him. Spend time with Him. Rehearse His goodness. I know most of the time, November is used as a time for Thanksgiving in the congregation. I've challenged us over the years to keep a written category, a written list of what we have to be thankful for. It's still a good thing, even in the time of trouble. It's a very good thing, maybe more so even in time of trouble, to be reminded of what we have to be thankful for. Amen. Rely on God. Encourage yourself in God, in the Lord, by reminding yourself of His faithfulness. And then let's be part of the means of grace. Let's be active in reaching out and providing God a channel to impart grace to our brothers and sisters. Use the means we have to encourage them. I tell you what, it's also good as you begin to think on others and you begin to think about their needs, as you begin to try and encourage them, God's grace will overflow your cup into your own life to give you encouragement and help. And then stay in God's Word. We need the encouragement and strength found in God's Word. Make use of it. Make it as necessary as your daily bread. Amen. That means make it as necessary. It is spiritually and really in life as necessary as eating daily. Don't neglect. Let's stay healthy spiritually so we can be not only receive God's grace, but be a means of channeling God's grace to those around us. Amen. May God bless you. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we count it a privilege to have been able to meet together, even though it was virtually this morning and not in person. We count it a privilege to be able to look into your word together, to share our burdens, our prayer requests together and bring them before you. But then, Lord, to look into your word to find the encouragement, strength, and instruction we need to carry on in the day and time that we're in. Help us, I pray, Lord, that we draw closer and stronger through these difficulties, defeat the power of Satan to discourage, disillusion, and accuse your people. Help us, I pray, through the coming days, and we'll give you the praise, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.